I am so thankful to God to be with you here today at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. It's my honor to stand before you, and as I watched that film, it just reminded me of how thankful we can afford to be as Southern Baptists for what God has done across these past two decades and even beyond that in our convention. I praise God. He has truly done great things. As you take your Bibles, will you turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and today I want to look at the last several verses of this chapter as we find the Apostle Paul at prayer. After you found your way to that passage, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, will you please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Beginning in verse 14, the Word of God says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That was Paul's prayer, and then here's the benediction. "Now to Him who is able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And we say, amen. Will you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have experienced today. And Father, it's a reminder to us that you have a vision for us as your people that is far greater than anything we could ask or imagine. So Lord God, I pray that in the moments ahead, you would speak to us through your word. And Father, I pray for those in this room today who need to be reminded of the vision and the future you hold for them as they walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. My friend Paul Little spent a career as a drill instructor in the United States Marine Corps. He's a small man. He has a humble personality just when he's in his civilian clothes. But when Paul puts on those Marine dress blues, pulls that visor down over his eyes, all of a sudden he transforms into one of the most intimidating people I've ever met on planet Earth. I've seen him put on that drill instructor face and use that drill instructor voice, and every word he says will strike fear into you. And I was talking to Paul one time, and I said, "Paul, you know, you spent a career taking recruits and turning them in to Marines. And these guys came to you from all kinds of backgrounds with all kinds of different motivations for being there and in all types of different physical condition. How did you take those guys and turn them into Marines?" And he said, "Stephen, it was very simple. I had a vision for them that they couldn't see." Said, "From the day they entered boot camp, I had a vision for what I wanted to be them to be, who I wanted them to be." He said, "I knew how I wanted them to talk. I knew how I wanted them to stand. I knew how I wanted them to walk. I knew how I wanted them to think." He said, "I knew everything I wanted them to be. And I just worked on them and worked in them until they began to match the vision I already had for them." He said, "I had a vision for them they couldn't see yet." I want you to know something. Your God has a vision for you that you can't see yet. And it's greater than anything you can ever imagine. And as you walk with Jesus Christ day by day and submit yourself to Him, He will work in you and He'll work on you until that vision He has for your life becomes a reality. Paul concluded his prayer by acknowledging that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we could ask or think according to His power that works in us for His glory in His church. That's how he concluded this prayer. But I want us to look in verses 14 through 19 of this prayer. And I just want you to notice some of the reasons that God is able to do more than we can imagine to accomplish His glory in our lives. And so I just hope you'll walk through this passage with me and notice what the Word of God says about how God is able to do more than we can imagine to accomplish His purposes in us. First of all, the Bible says His strength is greater than you can imagine. God's strength working in you is greater than you can imagine. If you'll notice the different petitions that the Apostle Paul raises as he prays this prayer, in verse 16, here's the first petition: that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. He prays that these believers in Christ in Ephesus would be strengthened. Now, the word strengthened there in verse 16 is a word that means taking something that is weak, taking something that is wilting, and making it strong. Here's how God strengthens us. It says He strengthens us with, through, and in. Notice those three prepositions and what they do in this verse. That we would be strengthened with power. The Greek word there is dunamis. And you know we get our word dynamic, dynamo, dynamite. All those words come from that word power, dunamis. The verbal form of that word is a word that simply means this: I can. He can. God can. God's power is His can-do ability in your life to do in you and through you what you could never do on your own. I've learned 10 words that have transformed my life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And those words are these: I can because God can and He lives in me. Those 10 words can transform you when you grab hold of them and let them grab hold of you. I can because God can and He lives in me, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power, His ability to get things done. That's the with. Then notice the through. Through His Spirit. His Holy Spirit lives in you to accomplish what you can never do, to strengthen you in ways that you would never have strength, with power through His Spirit in your inner being. The Bible says over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, that our outer man is wasting away, but our inner man is being strengthened day by day through His power working in us. I can because He can and He lives in me. His power, His strength in your life is far greater than you can ever imagine. Not too long ago, I was traveling and I had to fly through Atlanta because you have to fly through Atlanta to travel anywhere. And so I'm flying through the Atlanta airport, and when I got there, I had to go from one terminal to the next, and I got on the train that takes you from terminal to terminal. Now, I was at T, and I had to go to Terminal E, so the train goes T, A, B, C, D, E. And so I'm there on the train, and I'm holding on to the rail that you hold on to for support, and I'm there for a long time, and it's a crowded train, so I'm sort of leaning against the back wall. And at about the second stop, this young mother comes onto the car, and she holds on to the same rail that I'm holding on. I'm holding on here, she's holding on there. And she's looking away from me, but she's holding a baby in her arms, and she's looking away, but the baby is looking right at me. I love looking at babies, because you can look at a baby as long as you want to, and he will never say, "What are you looking at?" That never happens with a baby. And so I'm just standing there, and I'm looking at this little baby, handsome little boy. He's got blonde hair and blue eyes, red, white, and blue outfit on. And after I've been looking at him for a second, I say to his mom, "How old is he?" And she said, "He's 1 year old." And I said, "He is a really handsome little boy." She said, "Thank you." So I'm holding on here, she's holding on there. And after we've had that conversation, her little one-year-old baby boy, who she's holding in her arms, reaches out, and he holds on to the bar too. And I thought to myself, I wonder if somewhere in his little one-year-old brain, he thinks he's holding himself up. I wonder if he thinks the strength of his hand has anything to do with his stability. Because the truth is, his strength contributed zero to his stability. He absolutely had to depend on his mother to hold him up and to hold him close and to hold him strong. I'll tell you something about you. Your strength does not determine your stability. There are going to be times in our lives when our strength just goes away. We don't have anything to stand on. Praise God, our God holds us up and holds us strong and holds us close. His strength is greater than anything we can imagine. And He's working in His strength to accomplish in us a vision that we can't see yet. The Bible tells us that His strength is greater than we can imagine. Secondly, the Bible tells us this: His presence is greater than you can imagine. Continue reading with me as we move into verse 17 of the text. And there the Bible gives this petition: so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul prays for the Ephesian believers that Jesus Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith. In other words, as they trusted in Him through faith, that Jesus Christ would dwell in their hearts. Now, the word dwell there means to make yourself at home. It means for Jesus Christ to take up full residency inside of us, for His presence to be intimate and real and powerful in our lives, that He would dwell in your heart through faith. I would ask you this question today: is Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart? See, it's one thing for Him to live in you. It's another thing for Him to be at home in you. I can invite somebody in my house without telling them to make themselves at home. Somebody might come to do some work in my house, and I say, well, you come in and you go over there and do the work, but I'm going to set the parameters as to where you're going to be and where you're not going to be. Or I might even have a friend in our house, and we'll bring them in, and we'll say, we'll spend some time in the dining room, and after that, we'll go to the living room, and then after that, we'll escort you out. But I'm not letting them go everywhere. But if I invite you into my house, and I say to you, make yourself at home, and I mean it, then where can you go? This is the point in time where I'd like you to interact with me. Where can you go? Everywhere. If I mean it, if I say make yourself at home, and I mean it, you can go anywhere. You can go into my closets. You can go into all the rooms. You can go through my drawers. I'm talking about the piece of furniture. You can go wherever you want to go in my house. If I really tell you and if I really mean it, make yourself at home. For Christ to dwell in your heart through faith means that you open up every part of your life and yourself, the secrets, the things you don't want anybody to know about, the things you'd rather Him keep His hands off of. Every part of Him is open to every part of you, so that He can come and do what He wants to in your life. And until we come to that place, brothers and sisters, we really don't know what the Lordship of Jesus Christ is all about. So many times we say, now Jesus, you come on in, and I'm going to give you this chair. It's the best seat in the house, Jesus. Nicest piece of furniture I've got, and it's yours. Just sit right there. And Jesus, I want to serve you because I love you. And so I want to serve you. I'll bring you whatever you want to eat. I've read the Gospels. I'll bring you fishes and loaves to eat. And I'll bring you water. You can turn it into whatever you want to. I'll bring you whatever you want. And Jesus, now, every morning I'm going to come here because I love you so much. And I'm going to spend about 15 minutes with you. And then at the end of the day, I'll come back and I'll be tired. But before I go to sleep, Jesus, I'll take about 10 more minutes because I want to spend time with you. It's the best seat in the house. I'll bring you anything you want. But Jesus, you stay right here. Right, don't get up. Don't go anywhere. You stay right here. And here's the problem. When Jesus came into your life, He didn't come to take a seat. He came to take over. Until we come to that place in our lives where we say, Jesus, every part of who I am is open to you. I want you to dwell in my heart as I trust you more and more. Until we begin to open ourselves up to Him that way, He cannot He will not do what he desires to do to accomplish his vision and his purpose in our lives. Oh, but when we say, Lord, dwell in my heart as I trust in you, then his presence is greater than anything we can imagine. Thirdly, I want you to see this. The Bible says that his love is greater than anything you can imagine. Continue reading with me in verse 17 of the text. Paul prays this, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul told these believers that the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, is far greater than anything we can ever imagine. He prays for them to be rooted and grounded in love. The word rooted there is an agricultural term. It means to grow deep roots. The word grounded there is an architectural term. It means to be built on a foundation. God wants you to grow deep roots into his love. He wants you to build your life on the foundation of his love. And then he begins to pray that they would be able to comprehend the full dimensions of his love. The breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. Think about the breadth of his love. Think about how wide the love of God is. Think about how wide the love of Jesus Christ is. He loved all kinds of people. He loved religious people like Nicodemus. He loved people who just didn't seem to understand what he was talking about half the time, like Simon Peter. He loved people who rejected him, like the rich young ruler. He loved people who were mocking him, like the crowds that passed by, and he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. His love is so broad, so wide, it reaches far to everyone. And then think about the length of his love. How long has God loved you? When did he start loving you? Did he start loving you when you decided to enroll at Southern Seminary? Is that when he started loving you? Oh, he loved you a long time before that. Well, did he love you when you prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior? Oh, friend, he loved you a long, long time before that. Well, did he love you when you were being knit together in your mother's womb? He loved you a long time before that. Did he love you when the world began and he spoke everything in existence? He loved you far before that. In fact, there has never been a time when God did not love you with all the love of his heart, the breadth of his love, the length of his love, the height of his love. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and there he is surrounded by angels who praise him in antiphonal chorus, shouting back and forth to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. But even in that high place, he has not forgotten you. He has not stopped loving you. He still knows you. He still cares about you. He knows what you ate for breakfast this morning. He knows your first name. He knows your middle name. He knows your last name. Knows everything about you. And he loves you with all of his heart. The height of his love. And then the Bible talks about the depth of his love. There are times when our lives get so low and we feel like we are so forsaken and desolate and all alone. But even there, in the deepest place of your life, he will touch you with his love. Tim Vanderveen graduated from a college up in Michigan. He was a handsome young man, tall, broad shoulders, curly blonde hair. Great guy, great personality. He went to work at a company where he immediately began to work his way up the company ladder. And then one day in November, he just began to feel bad. He thought he had the flu, so he went to the emergency room of the local hospital, and they began to do some tests. He called a friend of his who lived about 2 hours away. And Tim said, listen, my mom and dad are on a trip in Europe. They can't come see me. But I think they're going to have to keep me overnight here, and I'm by myself. He asked his friend, would you come? And his friend said, sure, Tim, I'll come. And so Tim was admitted to the hospital. His friend got there a couple hours later, and by the time he got there, they had diagnosed Tim with leukemia. He didn't have the flu, he had leukemia. And that day began a 3-year battle, a grueling fight against leukemia that Tim Vanderveen physically lost, but in a real way, he won spiritually. 3 years later, The same friend goes back to the hospital to visit Tim. Tim's mother is in the corner of the room, sitting on the floor, crying, because she knows her son is not going to be around many hours or days longer. Tim is lying on his side. His body is emaciated. They've got a pillow between his knees just to give him some comfort. They've got his head propped up with other pillows because he can't lift his head. And he's just looking off to the side. His friend comes and kneels down beside of Tim's bedside. He says, "Tim, buddy, I love you. I'm here for you, praying for you." And Tim says, "I've learned something that I want to tell you." And when your dying friend tells you that he's learned something he wants to tell you, you listen. He said, "I've learned something I want to tell you." His friend said, "What is it, Tim?" Tim said, "I've learned that life is not like a VCR." Now, that didn't make any sense to his friend. But you don't tell your dying friend that the thing he just told you that he wanted to tell you doesn't make any sense. And so his friend just said, "All right, Tim, life is not like a VCR." Tim said, "No, life is not like a VCR." He said, "You can't fast forward through the bad stuff." He said, "But I know that Jesus Christ is with me in every frame. And right now, that's enough." I'll tell you this, life is not like a VCR. Sometimes we wish it were, right? I mean, we're going through something that's really hard, it's hurting, it's difficult, and we'd love just to push that button and go zip, and we're on the other side of it. But that's not the way it works. We go through it one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time. But praise God, the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the love of Jesus Christ never fails you. He is with you in every frame. And friend, can I tell you something today? That's enough. Whatever you're going through today, His love is enough. Whatever you may face in the future, His love is enough. His love is greater than you can imagine, and His love will not fail because He has a purpose and a vision for you that's far greater than you can imagine. I'll show you one other thing and then I'll be done for today. Fourthly, the Bible says that His fullness is greater than you can imagine. Here's the final petition in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love the language there. Paul could have just prayed that you may be filled with God. He didn't say that. He could have just said that you may be filled with all of God. He didn't say that. He made it as emphatic, as powerful, as all-inclusive as his language would allow him to. He said that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God's fullness is His absolute domination, control, lordship, and satisfaction in your life. It's Him having reign over every part of you. And as you are filled with His fullness, He will accomplish far more than you could ever ask or think. And when I read those words in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, it reminds me of what Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. When he says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." To be filled with all the fullness of God means that the Holy Spirit of God is filling you to accomplish what He has given you to do. I live about an hour away from the Magic Kingdom. And so we've had, especially the first year we were there, our son was just at the right age where we did the season pass to Disney and did all the Disney things, and it was a lot of fun. But about a year or so ago, I was at a conference, and a man who spent his life training Disney cast members, employees of Walt Disney World, Disneyland, all those different places, he spent his life training cast members at Disney University. And he told one of the principals that they teach every Disney cast member, and it's very simple. Here's the principle. Snow White never has a bad day. Now think about that. Snow White never has a bad day. And then he told us this story that they tell every trainee on Disney Cast. A family of four is traveling for their Disney vacation. They've taken a bus or a car or a plane, however they've gotten there. And all the way, the kids just get more and more and more excited about what they're going to see when they get to Disney. And especially the two kids want to get Snow White's autograph. And so they get to the Magic Kingdom. They're walking down Main Street, USA. Mom and Dad stop to get their cup of coffee. They're sort of getting rejuvenated. And then as the two kids are running down Main Street, they see the back of her. They see Snow White. And they run up to her and they say, "Snow White, Snow White, we're here. Can we have your autograph?" What these two kids don't know is that Snow White is having a bad day. Traffic was terrible all the way into the Magic Kingdom. All seven dwarfs are grumpy. I mean, it's just bad. And she turns around and she says, "Kid, leave me alone. I don't have time for you." And worse than that, she's got a cigarette hanging out of her mouth and her wig's pushed back on her head and her dress is dirty and ruffled. And has that ever happened at Disney World? No. Here's why. Snow White never has a bad day. Because every time she puts on that outfit that says Snow White, she represents Snow White and Disney and magic. She doesn't get to have a bad day. Can I tell you something about you when it comes to living your life for the glory of Jesus Christ? You don't get to have a bad day. Let me say that again. When it comes to representing Jesus and living for His glory, we don't get to have a bad day. So how do we always represent Jesus? I'll give you two options. The first one's the bad option. The second one's the right option. One option to keep from having a bad day is just to be fake. I just like to throw that out there as an option. You could just make the decision to fake it for Jesus. Have you ever known anybody that faked it for Jesus? They come to church and they put on the fake smile. They act with fake kindness, fake concern, fake humility. Pastors get up and speak with a fake voice. It's just fake, 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 fakeity, fake, fake, fake. And if that makes you mad, it's because you're fake. There's a problem with faking it. And that is, people can tell when you're faking it. Has anybody ever tried to minister to you with fake ministry? Sure they have. And you can tell. When you're faking it, you yourself can tell that you're faking it. But most of all, God knows when you're being fake. So here's the other option. Don't be fake, be filled. Because you're going to have a bad day. You're going to have days in ministry and days in life when you are at your lowest point, and still on that day, you've got to represent Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ and the glory of Jesus Christ. And the only way you can do it is to be filled with all of the fullness of God. Praise God, you can be. We can come before Him, and every morning before I get out of bed, I just pray this simple prayer, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today so that I can live for you and represent you, so that I can share the gospel with those around me, and so that others will see Jesus Christ in me today." And as we are filled with His fullness, and as we rely on His love, and as we walk in His presence, and as we operate in His power, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think for His glory in us, in the church, through Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And we say, amen. Will you join with me as we pray? Father, how we love you and praise you. I thank you for each person in this room today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you will give us today to serve you and live for you. And Lord, we thank you for what you have done in the past. God, thank you for Dr. Moeller and the way you have used him for your glory as he has walked with you. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to continue to use him in the days to come. And then, Lord, I thank you that for each person here, whoever we are, you have a purpose, you have a vision, you have a future. You desire to use us for your glory because you have a vision for us that we can't see yet. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.